Welcome to the Banking with Life podcast. I'm your host, James Nethery, and I'm excited to share with you that we've created a new series. This is a topical series where we've taken previously recorded clips, compiled them by topic, idea, and particular concepts within the infinite banking footprint and the financial world broadly. Topics will include loans, loan repayments, paid up additions riders, other riders, dividends, long-term thinking, what could go wrong, what does go wrong within the infinite banking footprint. And I hope you enjoy listening. And it was created for your edification. Thank you.
I have a friend who actually works for Lloyd's of London. And when I started this with her, she didn't believe you could do it.
Can I say she's an attorney?
Yeah, she's an attorney.
And has like 70 or a lot of attorneys under her. She's like really cool and knocking it out of the park.
She was going to buy an equity index policy, and I said, no, it's going to fall apart with age. So she trusted me enough that she was putting $193,000 a year into this policy.
You don't have to throw out numbers.
But she has over $2 million in cash value at this point. And they do real estate projects. She now can fund her own projects. I mean, she doesn't need to go to any bank.
So is she your second client or third
one? No. She was down the road somewhere.
Well, I know.
But my favorite client is... it's a nurse who had nothing. And she was credit card debt of somewhere around $15,000-$20,000. She had no 401k, no IRA, nothing set up for retirement. And all she could do was like $500 a month. And she had a little money that she could dump in on top of it. I just talked to her yesterday, or Wednesday, and she is so excited. She now has 300 some thousand in death benefit. She, the other day, her cash value, she thought she had 2 or 3 thousand she could borrow. She called the company and said, oh, you've got 20,000 in there you can borrow. And she goes, what?
That's very common. It's like when you're committed to pay a premium, you know, you put your hand to the plow, you don't look back, and you're going forward and you get past the noise. Because I remember her when she first became your client. I mean, I don't want to say desperate or dire, but I mean, she didn't have a clear path.
No, had nothing. And now she can leave her kids over $300,000, and she's still paying her premiums, and she's still borrowing, but she's paying herself, and she still has some outstanding debt to herself, but she's not paying 18 and 20% to credit cards anymore.
Right. I mean, that's very common, you know, when you begin, you know, the premium looks enormous or whatever. And then all the noise is like, oh, you're buying whole life. That's the worst place in the world to put money. You should do this over here, whatever it is they're selling. But if you keep going, you look up and it's like, wow, I didn't realize it. Even though you've seen the illustrations, you had all the conversations about that. And then actually seeing your cash values increase on a daily basis, and it just happens quicker than most people realize. Right. And if that was last week, the death benefit's greater today and the cash value's greater today.
The thing that I really learned over the last 5-10 years is what counts the most is uninterrupted compounding. It's the uninterrupted part that's the most important, because it doesn't matter what year you take a loss. Say you invested $100,000 in the stock market, and you know there's going to be a loss somewhere along the line, and these losses are usually 30% or more, or down years. And it doesn't matter what year that loss occurs, the end result is the same in terms of monetary value. That loss you can't replace. And what happens with life insurance is the compounding is uninterrupted. like we talked about before, there's a guaranteed and non-guaranteed side. But once a dividend's been declared and the interest has been added to that, or the cash value increase has been added to it, it goes to the guaranteed side and can never be taken away from you. So that uninterrupted compounding becomes enormous over 20, 30, 40 years. And that's where my kids, I mean, they're 18 and 21. They're only going to be able to pay $4,000 a year into their policy when they're 50 and 60. But their cash value increase each year will be 60, 70, 80,000.
What?
I mean, it's a retirement set up for them, even with inflation, that their future is taken care of.
I've used our policies for larger real estate development, land purchasing, things where I was doing a new build and needed to have some capital to begin that project, knowing that that project was going to sell, and then I'd harvest that money back, pay back the loan, and then keep moving. So those are also things that I'm using the policy for in business.
So did you do that through 2019, 2020, through COVID and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then can I, you know, not, like I said, I want you to be comfortable. I don't want you to share anything that you don't want to share. I don't want that at all. But you, development, so you purchased real estate and developed it and then sold it.
Right.
So right. Do y'all do buy and holds, or is that what y'all do? Y'all develop and sell? Is that y'all's primary?
I do any and all. I have bought and held. I do short-term rentals. I do have a long-term rental. I kind of have a mix of those. I'm developing a small community of luxury Airbnbs in North Georgia in the mountains. So those are things where I'm working in conjunction with a builder up there. And some of those I'm keeping in my portfolio. Others of those I'm selling, you know, on the market, out in the market. So yeah, whatever. That's what I love about this, is you just have to be prepared for whatever thing, whatever comes along. I don't know what's coming along. I just am waiting for the opportunity. And when I see something, and if the numbers make sense, then we go for it.
Has having access to capital changed the way an opportunity looks, or has it changed the way or modified the way that you vet an opportunity? Has there been any impact? You know, because you have access to this capital, so here's an opportunity. And because you have access to the capital, it may have changed what you determined to be an opportunity, or...
It just makes life easier because you're not having to go to the stinking bank and give them 100 million pieces of information. You just can do the deal, you know?
Yeah, I got you. I got you. And so can we talk about the other things that y'all do?
Sure.
As far as, you know, that's for profit, and I'm a capitalist, you're a capitalist. But y'all are also very active in the nonprofit world.
Yes.
So, care to share anything on that? Perfect. This is powerful.
For me, this is the fun of this whole thing. Because when I understood what this could do, I thought, oh my goodness, why would I not do this in the nonprofit? Because, so let me back up. I collect heroes. So another one of my heroes is Gordon Cosby. Gordon Cosby planted a fairly small church by, you know, everyone's standards today in DC in the 60s. And he developed this amazing community of faith and did all of these amazing things, planted probably 40 nonprofits out of his church, and was able to radically change kind of the face of DC in a time when it really needed God's people to rise up and do radical things to help the poor and the suffering. So he's one of my heroes. I love his story. And on his deathbed, he was able to transition several millions of dollars of money from his nonprofits and put them in exact places where he wanted to see new life, new expressions of God's goodness rise up after he graduated. And I thought, when I heard that story, I thought, I want to be like him. I want to be able to say that on my deathbed, I'm positioning millions of dollars to continue God's work after I graduate. Like, I want that on my bucket list. So when we finally established our nonprofit, because we've been doing this kind of work for many years without the official legal paperwork of a 501c3. So our 501c3, which is Everyday Mission, it is only about 7 years old. So it's starting to get some legs on it, you know? And we really had the mandate that half of the funds that come in go back out to the nations. So we're discipling and we're working with all sorts of organizations all over the world. The other half we are keeping within our purview, and we are saving, because right now we rent spaces or we meet in homes. We don't have our own property, but we know at some point we are going to have our own space. And it will be something that is self-sustaining. So we'll have some kind of business component with it. It's just not going to be a church building that sits there and is just used and funded on donations, right? Tithes and offerings. It's going to be a space that is fully used, but also building income as well. So we knew we needed to save money. Well, I don't want to put money in a savings account at the bank and it makes 1%. That's the first thing. And the second thing, I already have this goal of making sure I can distribute millions of dollars when I die. So I thought, well, let's just combine the two. And while we're capitalizing and saving money, we're just throwing all of that money into the policies for the nonprofit. And it's just cooking away. And we're now, you know, looking at real estate, looking at things, because when the right door opens up, I'll just go write a check and then we will just pay ourselves back.
We got to have a building. We got to have a location. We got to have customers. We got to have none of that happens without capital.
That's right.
So it's okay to focus on building capital.
Yes.
And these things really become apparent. And there's no game here. Like, you build capital, it'll become apparent, because now you're focused. I've got a path. I'm paying a premium. You know, I'm learning this, and that whole process, the learning process, continues.
Yes.
And it will be clear. It's like, well, no, I shouldn't finance this first. I should finance that first. Whatever it is, you know, we're all financing, you know, generally the same things, but at different points in our lives.
Yes.
And that process of your thinking expanding is invaluable.
It is.
You know, and it's like, it isn't going to happen if you're not trying to become your own banker, you know, in the same time frame.
No, because they're actively trying to keep you from thinking that way.
Yeah. Us talking to a client, you know, earlier this week, and we just went through kind of that, where, you know, they're financing different things, and, mm-hmm. you know, they're active. We're all active. I mean, they do real estate, college, and then they're very charitable. They're funding their tax-exempt organization. And this particular client will come on in the future, because, you know, she has a great story. But it's just going through the exercise of what should I do,
yes.
right? And it's whenever you have access to capital and you can control that whole banking function, the whole financing deal from start to finish,
yep.
it changes the way you look at things.
It does. You now have actual other options,
yeah.
right? And you can take your time deciding. Because yeah. you control it.
Yeah.
And then you can control when you pay it back, which you should pay it back, by the way. He tells you that in the book.
Right.
When you're talking about loans with policies. But, you know, there may be a period where you can't pay it back.
Right.
You know, you can't do that with normal financing. It's called a repossession.
There's assets you're swapping hands.
That's right.
right.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're not controlling the banking function. You're doing it on their time. When, how much.
That's right.
And then if they can get mad and change your mind.
Yep.
Really. Now, I know, and I say it all the time, I know there's some, you know, what do you call those loans or personal guarantees? I know there are non-recourse loans out there, but you don't have any.
Right.
Neither do I.
That's right.
Right.
We're not in that elite club of people.
Right. Which I'm okay with. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
I actually want to pay the loans back. It's the right thing to do because I borrowed the money.
It is.
I mean, just, you know.
Yeah, and too, look, when you repay the loan, you just have access to that much more capital,
right?
So we build cash value,
And we're not taking money out of the policy when we borrow. We're collateralizing that cash value. We're borrowing the life insurance company's money, right?
Yes.
But the cash value is collateralizing that. So in round numbers, if I have $10,000 in cash value and I borrow five, the $10,000 cash value is still in the policy, never left, right? But what I have access to has been reduced to five.
Right.
And then if I repay $2,500, you know, now I have access to $7,500.
Yep.
And it's not... This car you're driving now is not the only car you're ever going to drive. You know, this next real estate deal is not the last one you're going to do. And so it is a personal economic system. It's almost like an aquarium or terrarium where you're trying to control the banking function and maintain or keep the cash flows and the capital within your system.
Yeah, and maintain control of it.
Right.
You know? The idea of equity in a house is non-existent until you go get a new loan or you sell it, which both of those, you lose control of it.
Mm-hmm. I got to go through a gatekeeper to get a HELOC or a cash out refi.
Yes.
Yeah.
Specifically an investment property, but also an owner occupied, your personal residence.
That's even worse though, an investment.
Worse, even worse.
They're going to loan you, they're going to give you 80% loan value, you know, on that primary residence. Yeah, probably. How about your first investment property, or your second, or your third, or your fourth? Are you getting 80% loan to value on that?
Likely not.
No.
Nope.
And then, too, you know, I love the idea of real estate. You know, I mean, I like real estate, but I like other things, too.
It's any asset.
Yeah.
It's any asset. It's just, you know, you likely hear a lot about real estate. It's a great investment vehicle.
Yeah.
It's a great asset, but there are other great assets as well.
Yeah. Nowadays, you know, it seems like every real estate group has an IBC guru or expert attached to them. Right. Getting out there. Which is good. It's great. You know, real estate, what is that? Let me see. Oh, it's real property. It's private property.
Yeah.
It's an appreciating asset. It's a cash flowing asset.
Yep.
And there's some preferential tax treatment.
Yep.
You know, there's a deferred benefit.
Right.
If you sell the property in the future or you pass it to your heirs and then step up in basis and all that.
Yep.
Well, look at life insurance. Private property.
Yeah.
It's a private asset. It's an appreciating asset.
Yep.
It can be a cash flowing asset.
Yeah.
And there's preferential tax treatment. And there's a deferred benefit because we're all going to graduate.
Yep.
You know, they really go hand in hand.
So really, a lot of people actually won't be in their lifetimes real estate investors.
Right.
Most people, if they have a normal everyday job, are going to participate in a government vehicle that's supposed to be an investment strategy for them.
You mean a retirement plan?
Whatever, IRA, 401k, okay. All those government, government, sponsored plans. I don't think Nelson talks about that in the book, but he goes into it in detail in the DVD seminar. You don't have control of that. The government does. And you need to learn about that, right? If you get into a bind, how do you access that money?
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to leave it in there when you have retired, quote unquote retired, they're going to charge you. You have to take it out at a certain time. What if you don't want to, right? So if you take it out early, they're going to charge you, and you're going to pay income tax on it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to keep it in there later because you're doing okay and you don't need it and you want it to continue growing, they're going to say, no, you got a certain period where you have to start taking distributions. So that's the everyday stuff, you know. And then it gets you to invest in that to save on taxes, your income taxes, right, when you file your taxes every year. So every employer that offers that, they get a benefit and you get a benefit of saving taxes. But, you know, you have to invest in certain things. Well, what are those certain things? Stocks, whatever the company's, you know, organized asset classes are, which you have no control over.
Well,
right?
You have a sheet of choices, right, to choose from that they created.
That's right.
Yeah, they put the list together.
So, you know, you can look at investments and things, but at the end of the day, just doing this on a basic level, capturing the everyday functions, That's the exponential growth that you're missing out on. And it is exponential. Exponential, excuse me. Think long range. It's not going to happen in a year or two, but you're going to look up 7 to 10 years later, and it's going to be an amazing difference. And I haven't been using it that long, but I've seen other people's examples. And you can see the math, but it's just capturing the everyday stuff that people are going to spend money on. Everybody wants to talk about investments and return on investment, interest rates, all that stuff. But with regard to real estate and things like that, just look at the everyday stuff. And if you just conquer that and master that, you're going to be in such a better financial position.
The working guys get the brunt of it.
Mm-hmm. And the new guys get nothing near what y'all were promised.
Right. That is correct.
Yeah, wait, but neither do y'all.
That's right. And that is the big deal. I feel like I have to replace the blessing that I have as far as fire department pension, but I don't trust it.
Yeah.
I do not trust it. And what they say you get today is they could change it next month. And so I like listening to people like you and looking at products like this to work on replacing what somebody else says I get to have with something a little more under my control.
Yeah. You know, if you're going to take a risk, you might as well, if you can, take the risk that you have some control in.
Right? Right.
So have you done some real estate deals or activities?
I have. We had talked about that, you and I had, when I first got into it. And I have done that. I have several odds and ends through the, usually using the cash values as either a down payment or something, or some way to fund a project. And then I'm really kind of surprised you asked me to come on the podcast, because I haven't been great about paying those loans back up to this point. But it's coming.
Well, you have an opportunity, right? You can repay a loan at any time.
I do.
Yes. You can only pay a premium annually. Right. So, you know, premium does have priority, in my opinion, over loan repayments. However, you can't let the loans grow out of control.
Right.
And I'm not. Your loans are not out of control. I don't want
to. Well, I need to do better. But
and we can all do better. No question about that. And then too, you continue buying policies. Right. You know, you continue paying premium not only on your policy but all the other policies that you own. And then I don't even know if you own. I don't think, and I don't want to cross any bounds, no. But. I mean, just the people around you, you've caused other family members to get involved, and not from forcing position. It's like you're doing it. You're leading by example, yeah. And you're just sharing that with them. And, you know, some get it, you know, and yeah. Some don't. Yeah. But it just seems to me like you're doing, you know, you've got a pretty good influence on your family.
I think so. And I think it's. Our family in general is pretty long-term mm-hmm. oriented with stuff. And, you know, my daughter Sean and her husband Tyler, they've really done well with it. And
yes, they have. Thank you,
my
Sean. Thank you, Tyler. Son. I hope they listen. But, you know, they got to listen more than 15 minutes to hear.
My son Jay and his wife Jennifer, They didn't really understand it, and but we do have policies on both their kids, so they're going to see the benefits of that yeah. and everything down the road. So
that's
I enjoy getting my deals where I got to put another. I enjoy writing those checks to fund those policies for them, because they call me PJ and call Melissa Missy. So PJ and Missy, they'll be thanking us.
Your grandbabies that. Call you that, PJ yeah. and Melissa
Missy, PJ Missy. And Missy.
PJ and Missy.
Yeah.
Perfect. I've never met your wife until this morning. That was fun.
She's a, you know, she's a cool gal.
Well, she would have to be to hang around with you.
She's forgiving too. So
praise God.
Yeah. Like, for sure.
Grace. Right?
For sure.
So, I was kind of going back to, you know, back in the day when you didn't really have the opportunity to hear as many podcasts and as many people talking about the infinite banking concept, the idea that you can become your own banker. And I know today what I call noise, there's a lot of noise out there. There's a lot of noise in every industry. And I'm not talking about the what I'm saying is there's a lot of good information out there, but I am not talking about all of those exotic illustrations that just merely focus on the rate of return, the rate of return, and trying to improve or bolt on or make better the work of Nelson.
Right.
I'm not talking about those.
Okay.
All right. But there are some, there is good information out there, no question. But back whenever you were first exposed to it is because you were active in real estate.
And, right. And you just kind of stumble across stuff and hopefully you, like I said, I just picked up, man, I got to listen to that again and get more information. So sometimes just stumbling through.
Yeah.
You find a gem.
It's the same thing today. I mean, I think you've got to step over a lot of, there's more to step over today to get to the truth. Right. But once you step over that, when you get to the truth, it's pretty much going to lead you to Birmingham, Alabama, in my opinion.
Right.
And then it'll lead you here. It should lead you here. All right.
I'll give you the example. Last Friday, the area that I work in, California, it's kind of a higher profile area, not me specifically, but the area. But within a, I'm driving on a major street, I'm heading west, and there's a, without knowing the city dynamics very well for the listeners, but I know tenths of a mile because I drive these streets all the time. I'm about 8/10 of a mile from when I cross a railroad track to the next major intersection. And right as I'm crossing the railroad ties or the railroad tracks, I call my life insurance company because I'm getting ready to come here. I'm helping my mom manage a home renovation to our childhood home so we can sell it. And I had already written a check and it was already in snail mail to the contractor for $10,500. So I called my insurance company. I think it was option two or three. I get usually one of three people because I wear them out too when I make PUA payments. Like I wear them out. Mm. You know, I sold a bicycle like that I bought for $800 3 years ago because of importing and import prices and such. I sold it for almost $1,200. So I made, you know, $400 there extra. So what did I do? I took that cash. I immediately go to the credit union and then I immediately make a phone call to the life insurance company. It's like, get it in there and get it working. I don't want this money just sitting idle. So I call the insurance company. I think his name's Kevin. Kevin answers and I was like, Kevin, I need a policy loan. Do all the verification stuff of who I am. Here's your max loan amount. How much would you like? I need $10,500. Okay. Would you like that ACH to the same bank account that where your premium comes from? Yes, sir. And end a phone call and haven't even reached that next intersection, you know, that next major intersection. So that took about 2.5 minutes. No, what are you using it for? You know, our calendar's kind of booked. We, you know, the loan officer doesn't have any time for you until next Thursday. Mm. And then, you know, to go through their underwriting. So one, my money, my control, my bank, and speed. And it was done in 2.5 to 3 minutes and the transaction was in process and that was it. So when you're talking about stress relief or, you know, fill in the blank with whatever, that's control. That is control.
It is.
And
you got a relationship with Kevin at the home office.
Oh, he probably is like, this guy's going to come and he's going to do some, you know, not some fancy stuff, but he's going to wear me out. Like, oh, is this guy again from California?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's kind of, you know,
I love that.
Yeah. But I mean, as a practitioner, I've repainted rental properties with policy loans. I've replaced HVAC because it gave me some operating flexibility instead of giving up 3 years of cash flow to a property. I finance that through my policy loan because if you know anything about, you know, I love Robert Kiyosaki's, I know I've read probably 10 of his books and Ken McElroy and Tom Wheelwright, Garrett Sutton, and you start filling in the blank of all the real estate books and times that I've spent, again, becoming a student. If I want to make, you know, an endeavor into real estate, I need to arm myself with data and arm myself with knowledge and learn from the best. And understanding that an asset is anything that takes or puts money into your pocket and a liability is anything that takes money out of your pocket, really simple.
Very simple.
Just like infinite banking. It's really simple.
Very.
Right. And that, I think that's what kind of scares people sometimes is like, no, it needs to be more complex than this. It's just, yep. I need X's and Y's and I need like different color line charts. And I need to, if someone just, you know, use like time value of money in here, I'd feel a lot better, even though I don't know what it means, you know, things like that. And it's like, no, it's really simple. Like if it puts money in my pocket, that's an asset. If it takes money out, it's a liability. So I use my policy loan knowing that I have tenants that are gracious enough to have hardworking jobs and are good people in my houses and in their houses, because we're partners, that they pay me every month. And part of that cash flow that I would have sacrificed otherwise goes back to pay my policy loan. They're helping me and I'm helping them.
That's the basis of capitalism, so, isn't it? I mean, it's at the end of the day, the renter pays for everything. They paid the principal, they paid the interest, they paid the insurance, they paid the repairs, they paid the taxes. You're responsible for it.
Hugely responsible.
Yep.
Thank you for joining us on the Banking with Life podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe and click on that little notification bell. Otherwise, join us on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher for weekly content.